Good morning. It is 10 o'clock, January 4th, 2024. I call this regular meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. I'm Randy Christman, Chair of the Commission, joined by Commissioners Sherry Haugen-Hoffert and Julie Fedorchak. So we have a quorum. Let's begin our meeting by pledging our allegiance and turning off our phones.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So I don't have any comments this morning other than to wish everyone a happy new year. And at least this year we're not struggling with the kinds of snowfall and stuff that we had last year, but really some concern for those people in primarily the southeast quadrant of the state that suffered a lot of electric outages. And I'm sure some of them are probably frustrated with their electric providers, because I think we all generally tend to be whenever the electricity isn't working 100% of the time. But, you know, in this case, we are in North Dakota, and there are weather events that are beyond people's ability to control within any kind of reasonable cost structure. And an ice storm like this is one of them. And kudos, I know there were a lot of companies, not only the companies down there, but other companies around the state, and I'm guessing probably South Dakota and Minnesota as well, that came in and helped out, as those companies do when the storms hit elsewhere. And so when you think of the amount of damage, there was a lot of work done in order to restore power in a pretty quick period of time, with all due respect for those people. Easy for me to say it was in a quick period of time. I'm not the one who was out for days. But I understand that and sympathize, but thank you to the people who got it back at least as quickly as they possibly could. Commissioner Haugen-Hoffert.
Well said, Commissioner Christman. And like you, you know, this ice storm brought about a lot of uncertainty in a lot of areas, not only in power outages, but first responders. So kudos to the linemen that were out there working almost 24/7 to restore, putting the lights back on. But I also want to give out a shout not only to the linemen and the staff and the managers who were managing all that, but when the ice storm came, to all first responders who responded so promptly to accidents and all that. So we're thankful for all of them who are out there serving us. So, and my final note is a blessed new year to everyone.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
Thank you. Happy new year to everyone as well. And I agree with all that you guys said about the ice storms. As we look at the work at the commission coming up for the new year, it's shaping up already to be probably one of the busiest years on record. Perhaps challenged by some of those years of during the boom, the early years of the Bakken boom, when we had, you know, several siting hearings every month. But aside from that, you know, we have three active rate cases that are have been filed and that will require our staff's time and attention. Those always take an incredible amount of time and resources. And it's unusual to have all of our investor-owned utilities have filed at the same time. So that is an unusual occurrence and will create some additional stress around here among staff. And at the same time, the federal government and the administration have some very aggressive rules that they're proposing for regulating some of our key industries. That demands additional time from our staff. And FERC is looking at some pretty substantial new rules as well. And so we have to be engaged in those and advocating. And then the RTOs, of which we have two that we have to be responsible and responsive in. the work continues there on a very aggressive pace on changes to the markets to address all of the new resources that are coming online and how to keep the system reliable and affordable. And so we remain active on those. And then finally, we do have several big siting projects to review. The Carbon Summit one, which continues and is probably one of the biggest this commission has ever had to deal with. And then we have another new transmission line that I'll be talking about later. And then we know that Basin is working on an additional very substantial new line. And we have a sizable new wind farm that we're actively reviewing and we'll have a hearing on in a couple weeks. So it's a lot of work to get done. And the good news is we have an incredible staff. And we're almost full. Well, we were full strength, and now we're not. but we have added a couple of positions. We have really incredible professionals on board. We've gotten good results from our surveys of late of staff, showing that they like working here. They feel respected and appreciated, and we've worked hard to create that kind of an environment. And so we want to be able to maintain that this year as we work through all of the really busy cases, meaningful work, but it does tax staff. So that's our challenge, the three of us and Steve as the leaders, to make sure that people have what they need, that they're appreciated, that we treat them fairly, that we offer good leadership. And so it's a role that I know I take real seriously. It's one of the most fun parts of this job, quite honestly, is leading our staff. Because I love them, and I think they're just the best workers I've ever had the opportunity to work with. So let's make it a great year. Let's do a lot of important work for the citizens of the state, and let's have some fun doing it.
Okay. We have two items on the consent calendar. I move approval of those items plus the minutes of the previous meetings.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
We had to pull the first item that I had previously had on the calendar that wasn't quite ready yet. And so moving to RC2, I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in IM Telecom LLC designated eligible carrier application, case number PU-23-365.
Second.
On December 21st, IM Telecom filed an application for designation as an ETC for the purpose of receiving federal universal service support for low-income consumers. The issues to be considered in this proceeding are, number one, is the applicant qualified? Number two, what universal support area should be designated if we designate any? And number three, is the designation of this applicant as an ETC in the public interest? Comments and requests for hearings must be received by February 19th. If deemed appropriate, this commission can determine the matter without a formal hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, I move the commission initiate case number AM-23-358 for the 2024 exploratory drilling project for reclamation of abandoned mine lands in Public Service Commission 2024 exploratory drilling AML project, case number AM-23-358.
Second.
So the 24 drilling project will investigate underground mine workings beneath public roads and other infrastructure near the cities of New Salem and Scranton. And when you drive by New Salem, where you see the big hill with the cow on top, she's getting old, but she's still up there grazing away. And the mine area is right on the south side of that hill. And so just for perspective, the work on these two projects is expected to be conducted between June and August and cost about $300,000. The AML division has the funds to complete these projects, and recommends initiation, as do I. I just wanted to point out, I pointed this out on a different initiation project a few weeks ago. These used to be on the consent calendar, but then when some of the contracting work was assigned to the executive director instead of coming to the commission meetings, that's why I'm bringing these initiations in, so that the public can be made aware of these projects as they get started. Otherwise, there's no real opportunity except digging in files.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And I move the commission initiate case number AM-23-359 for the 2024 Lehigh Road Phase 9 project for reclamation of abandoned mine lands in Public Service Commission 2024 Lehigh Road Phase 9 project, case number AM-23-359.
Second.
So this project, A, it seems concerning when we end up with Phase 9 of a project, but it was a big area down there. This is down southeast of Dickinson. Some of you that are old enough might remember the briquette plant that was out there, and so kind of in that area. But it would stabilize abandoned underground coal mine workings, and this is directly north of the Dickinson landfill, too, so there's a fair amount of traffic. It's a continuation of the 2022 and 2023 projects, which revealed more voids along the roadways. AML staff has estimated 2,500 cubic yards of grout will be pumped into these mine workings. Work is expected to be conducted between June and September. The estimated cost for this project is $1 million. The AML division has the funds to complete this project as designated and recommends initiation, as do I.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And that concludes my portfolio, Commissioner Haugenhofer.
Thank you, Randy. I move the commission adopt the order in Otter Tail Power Company Advanced Metering and Distribution Technology Tariff and Rates, case number PU-23-275.
Second.
So on July 25th, Otter Tail filed an application to change its tariff related to the new advanced metering and distribution technology. Some people refer to these as smart meters, just a connection. Otter Tail also requested a permanent variance to the North Dakota Century Code relating to the required frequency of meter reading and bill presentation. So we issued a notice of opportunity. There was no response received. And then on September 27th, the commission did hold a informal with the company. And during that informal with the company, us as a commission discussed with Otter Tail the option: would we allow an opt-out of the smart metering, the cost, if they opt out, the upfront cost, and then if they did opt out, not only the upfront cost, but also to do the meter reading if they're not using this. The commission, we all thought the costs were quite high. And when we look at it, we have a baseline that we do work with other companies on what we've approved, but also recognizing that Otter Tail service area is different. It covers a lot more service area. So we expressed during the informal, had a very candid conversation with Otter Tail Power regarding some of our concerns, as I outlined. And we also had a work session between us commissioners, and after hearing our informal hearing in our work session, Otter Tail did file a supplemental filing, and based on that review, I'll go through what they submitted and what we approved. We as a commission did recommend that having the opt-out for the customers was something that we wanted, and Otter Tail, after considering it, decided to offer that option for their customers to opt out. So then if they do opt out, what are the upfront costs? They initially submitted a quite high number, and they reduced it, taking into consideration us commissioners' input. And so the upfront cost of the opt-out is $120, and we find that reasonable that they did reduce it. And then the monthly charge was also reduced to $20 at the recommendation of the commission. So we are in agreement on allowing the opt-out, the upfront cost of $120, and then for the meter reading of $20 a month. We find that reasonable. The other thing that came out in the informal hearing in our work discussion is their bill presentation is they were just going to have kilowatt usage. And it was the commission asked if it is reasonable to put in their the meter reading. And in their supplemental filing, Otter Tail discussed it with the staff. And looking at it, it would be some program changes. And the significant change in why they don't want to do it would be the deployment of the advanced metering. They also are willing, Otter Tail said they are committed to monitoring customer contacts regarding this issue if we don't have the meter reading in it, and be willing to assess the issue in the future if deemed necessary. This is something that staff will be monitoring with Otter Tail. So we deem that appropriate. We don't want to see a delay in this deployment of smart metering. So having considering this matter, the commission finds that the proposed tariff and rates are approved. They are reasonable and just. And the commission further finds the variance of displaying the beginning and ending kilowatt reading on the customer bills should be granted. So having considering this, I support their approval as stated.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Yeah, I just want to back up. We haven't found this just and reasonable at this point. They did a filing. We'll see if we do. I know I don't. This is significantly more than what was approved for XL, and I thought that was too high. Yes, Otter Tail is a different service territory with more miles between customers on average than XL. There's also advantages of that, too, of being in a more rural area without as much activity and such. But the big issue here to me is when we do rate cases or riders, it is detailed information that companies have shown and that we ultimately decide are just and reasonable, very detailed and proven, not just arbitrary numbers thrown around. You notice how these are all round numbers? None of them are ever based on anything. It's based on, they don't know how many people are going to want to opt out. They don't know if it's zero or hundreds or thousands of people are going to want to opt out. Before the legislature and the commission and the companies a couple decades ago got so carried away with advanced determinations of prudence, the companies used to actually invest in things and then come and make the case for that they should get recovery. Now, it seems to me that they're kind of moving beyond even selling their own customers on their services and products. They just come here and sell a few people on the 12th floor of the Capitol on what they want to invest in, and throw out some number that's so high that no one can afford to do anything else except accept it. And I'm frustrated by that. If this is the right meter, and frankly, I think there are some benefits to this meter that customers can get information, maybe learn about their own usage and learn things that they want to alter in their lifestyles to save themselves money. There's some good things about this, but it's the company's responsibility to sell them on that, not just come and sell us on a dollar amount that they come up with arbitrarily to make sure that no one will resist. This is the perfect way encourage people to be cynical. That, oh, here's this new technology thing that they're not familiar with, they don't understand, and I'm stuck taking it because I can't afford to do anything else. I mean, $20 a month, when we get to our rate cases, we're going to be in here arguing about, you know, different rate structures and stuff that will have an impact of a dollar or two a month, and arguing about the impact on people being able to pay it. I just think this is way too high. If they get down the road a ways with the new meters, depending on the numbers of people resisting, maybe then they come to us and say an increase for people that are opting out is just and reasonable based on what we're seeing. Here's the costs. And then we would know what they are. Is it $9? Is it $16.50? Maybe it's $35. I don't know. But neither do they. And that's my concern here. They're just picking arbitrary numbers as a cudgel rather than selling their customers on their products and services.
Well, you know, Randy, I respect your perspective on this, and I know you've not been a fan when we did this with NSP either. But I think this is actually not as grim of a situation as you've outlined. Otter Tail waited a long time. They've skipped a generation of meters and are now out updating what are pretty substantially outdated meters that do require door-to-door reading. There was a whole generation of meters that they didn't deploy that would have allowed for remote meter reading. So they skipped that, made use of the old ones longer. Now they're replacing with this new technology. I mean, this technology is just the way it's done now, and it offers a whole bunch of new tools that are also going to be needed for demand management, et cetera, that are also part of the, you know, modern delivery of utility services. So I think we're doing the right thing here in providing a reasonable way for folks who don't want to embrace the new technology. We're providing them an opportunity to not have it and recognizing that it does cost more because they are going to have to go out and send people out to read those meters. And I was, you know, fairly comfortable with the efforts the company made to estimate. They are estimations, but they're not just pulled from thin air. There was mileage calculations. There was time, staff time calculations. There was estimations based on experience by this utility or others in terms of how many people might opt out that were, you know, I felt not just, you know, random, but had some validity. And in the end, this even is a substantial decrease in what they estimated to be the actual costs for them to come out and do the manual meter reading. So I agree that they still have to sell their customers on it, but we did talk to them about that as well. And that remains to happen. Like they haven't deployed this yet. So I think the time for selling their customers is after we approve this. Finally, from my perspective, the only piece that I feel is missing from this order is some commitment by the company or some requirement that the company perform not monthly meter readings, but more along the lines of the quarterly meter readings that we had a pretty extensive discussion about, so that the customers wouldn't have to pay $20 a month. They might pay $20 a quarter. I don't know where that landed with the staff, Sherry, if you can provide some insights to me on that, because that isn't captured in the discussion on this order. Otherwise, I'm comfortable with this and happy to support it, but I would be curious from your perspective, Sherry, where that landed in terms of the company committing to quarterly.
I could speak to that really quickly.
Go ahead.
I did speak with the director about that, and generally when it comes to operational issues, we would rather encourage them to do it outside of the order rather than try to put operational rules into the order itself as far as how to conduct things in case, you know, because there could be a lot of different operational issues. So this, along with you know, them doing what they said about the meter reading, would be things that we would speak to them offline about.
Do we have any sense of their commitment to that?
I don't think they didn't give an opinion on it negatively. I think it would depend upon circumstances and timing of when they have staff in areas and things like that.
Correct.
So that's kind of where I think we left off on that.
Mm. Okay. Well, I disagree with the director that this is a cost issue. It's not just a operational issue. It's part of their cost recovery. And so I do think we have some ability to direct them in this regard. And so I guess for the company, I will be looking for some status reports on how this is being implemented with a strong preference that they be looking at not the monthly implementation of the meter readings, but we know they can be estimated. They've done this in COVID, so I'm not likely to believe anything that comes back from them saying they can't do it. We know they can do it. It was done for a year or longer during COVID, the estimations. So we've made it clear that that's our strong preference for those who choose to go down this path, which is going to be, we know, a small number of folks. And I'm going to have faith that Otter Tail will acknowledge that and carry this out in that manner.
So, Commissioner Fedorchuk, I can work with staff on that as far as the reporting, as far as that. But one of the things I do want to address is we're talking about numbers, quantifying numbers on the opt-out, and we have requested that, and part of it is, you know, looking at the criteria that they set up, and I'm going to reference a memo that was prepared at the end of September, and we have discussed that with them as far as the criteria that they used on those that are opting out. And I'm just going to briefly go through it so we know when we're looking at the North Dakota Otter Tail customers, how many, the impact of it. Otter Tail estimates that about 17,500 of their 46,500 residential customers would be eligible for the opt-out. Out of the 29 ineligible customers, approximately 6,500 are not easily accessible. 16,000 have rates other than the M101, and 10,000 are ineligible due to late payments. So they set some strong criteria on who's eligible for opt-out and who's not. They estimate that only about 5.5 or 87 of the eligible customers would choose to opt out of the AMDT, Advanced Metering Distribution Technology. So we're looking at, 0.5% or 87 customers. Where do we want to spend our time, staff time, their time, on the amount of eligible customers? And I think they have come, they heard our concerns and are willing to address it. So I thank them for their support, and I hope you can support this order.
I'll just summarize, though, by saying, they managed to sell us on these meters are probably a good investment. If they sell their customers the same way, they won't have opt-outs. That's what they should be doing instead of bargaining with us for as big a cudgel as possible.
Well, we could have said at the informal or work session that we don't support an opt-out and we'd be done. But here we are, where we asked them to consider it. and they have. So, again, I ask for your support on this order.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay.
Nay.
Motion is approved.
Thank you. I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement in Public Service Commission Wayne Dregs Holth Damage Prevention Enforcement Case Number DM-23-286.
Second.
Thank you. So on August 2nd, the commission received a North Dakota One Call complaint from the North Dakota Pipeline Company, Enbridge, alleging a violation by Mr. Dregs Holth by failing to contact the notification center and provide an excavation or location notice before beginning excavation. So what we received the complaint, the staff did its due diligence by sending out a letter. We received a response and did further clarification on this. And what they found out is after the complaint, Enbridge did receive a notification from North Dakota One Call of an emergency locate placed by SRT. So Enbridge went out there and to the area, and they did discover that an excavation had occurred within 100 feet of their transmission line. And in conversation with the landowner, that he did the excavation and that there was damage occurred by his excavation. And what he had done is on the 3rd, he began the excavation, and there was no evidence that he called 811, call before you dig. And in doing so, he struck SRT's fiber optic line, and he caused $18,700 in damages. He notably, Mr. Drangsholth, notably said that he did it. He didn't call in, and he caused the damage. He has already paid SRT for the damages. And having investigated, the staff and he knows that he violated our one call violation by not calling in before he dig. He was responsible for the damages. He's already paid. So under the consent agreement, he is assessed a penalty, a civil penalty of $1,000, with the $1,000 civil penalty suspended. So the penalty is suspended under the condition that he commits no further violation within 5 years of the date of this order. If he does violate, he will have to pay that $1,000. This case, I want to compliment Mr. Drangsholth that he was very, worked with us as the staff, was very upfront that he violated and caused the damage and has already paid it. So I accept this consent order.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you. I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement in Public Service Commission Asgard Resources LLC Weights and Measures Enforcement Case Number WM-23-309.
Second.
Thank you. So on March 23rd, the commission received a complaint that the truck scale located at Asgard Resources in Hazen was not weighing accurately. So our weights and measure staff went out to the prairie, received the test report from our prairie scales system, a North Dakota registered company placing in service the temporary scale. So based upon the investigation, what they did is they were going to put in a new scale, but it is common that they put in a temporary scale first to see that it's working. And in doing so, that temporary scale was not certified. And temporary scales need to be certified through the PSC, and it was not. And as they were working through it to get the new scale, no one there realized it wasn't certified. And part of the reason that they take ownership is there was staff turnover, and they did not notice it. There was no intent, but staff turnover and said, yes, it wasn't certified. In the meantime, while this violation was occurring, they did get a new scale, and that scale has been certified. So all the protocol has been followed. But they did violate the temporary scale. There was a violation there because that was not certified. So based upon the consent agreement in working with the staff, that they are assessed a civil penalty of $500 payable to the North Dakota Public Service Commission within 10 business days of service of this order. So I'm happy to report that there was an educational opportunity in replacing the scale. It wasn't certified, but their scale is now the permanent scale is now in place and certified. So I support this consent agreement.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I have a couple questions, or at least one. So the new certified scale went into operation one day, and our inspector was out there the next. Were we called out to check it, or was that a coincidence?
Go ahead.
Morning, Commissioners. Conrad Crockford, Director of Compliance. We received a complaint in March, and by the time our inspector could get out there to inspect it was in April to look at the situation. We received a complaint from a truck driver that the weights, their concern was that the weights were off on the scale that was out there. And so when we made it out there, they had just circumstantially placed the new scale in service, but they still had the old scale on site. That was the not legal for trade temporary scale that had been used prior to that.
Okay, with that, then I don't have any more questions, okay. But just a comment. I appreciate the work staff puts into coming up with working on settlement agreements like this. And I feel like I've long-term commented when I thought, oh, this one seems a little high or this one seems a little low, because this is sort of like the court system. There's no two cases exactly alike. And so you can pick out parts of a certain case and compare it to a different case and then what the penalties were in the court system and say, well, this doesn't make sense. And so I try and provide that feedback so that when staff is working on settlements, they're aware. As I read this, it appears this company was told almost a year before that that scale was not certified by the company. And yeah, they had turnover. So now when all this came to light, there was someone new, but the previous manager who was told was a representative of this company. And these companies caused me some other concerns besides their scales. Could be the future of the AML program. But to operate for a year like this commercially, so, and in this case, we're not talking about a yogurt stand where we're, you know, it's an issue of a few cents or something. These are truckloads of material being weighed out commercially. I think the 500 was a little on the light side, so just for future references, I am going to support the motion, though, but just wanted to provide that feedback.
Thank you for your comments.
I actually really agree with that and think the $500 isn't really commensurate with the possible damages that were done along the way, especially considering that we got a complaint from somebody who thought that it was off. So if you're noticing that, it's got to be pretty obvious. And I don't like thinking about how many other trucks went through that didn't say anything or weren't motivated to say anything, that probably also were off. And so, yeah, I mean, $500 for commercial operation is not a substantial amount, and I don't think it's real commensurate with the damage that was that occurred here, or with basically the crime. So I'm actually going to vote against this consent agreement.
We did. Thank you for your input, Conrad, and I did discuss this quite a bit as far as this case, and I do want Conrad to comment based on the information as far as my concern that this did get reported from a truck driver, and as far as the investigation, as far as any fraudulent that we thought that was going on there. So, Conrad, I'm going to have you speak to that, because based on the staff, I'll just turn it over to you, based on the staff as far as that concern.
I'm not saying it was fraudulent, but the scale was off. And so when a scale is off, the weights are off, and what they get charged or get paid is off. So, I'm not suggesting that they were fraudulent in any way or doing that intentionally. I think it's just they weren't following the law. The scale hadn't been certified. It was off.
Okay.
And so that resulted in, you know, that's why we exist. That's why this whole program exists, is to make sure the scales used in commerce are accurate so people get charged and paid appropriately. And so I think that's why, you know, having a scale that's not been certified for commercial use for a whole year is, you know, a substantial problem. So anyway.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay.
Nay.
Motion is approved.
That ends my portfolio.
Commissioner Fedorchak?
Okay.
Yep.
I move the commission adopt the notice of filing and notice of public hearing in Basin Electric Power Cooperative Roundup to Coomer Ridge 345 KV. Trans Dunn and McKenzie citing application case number PU-23-361.
Second.
So this is, I mentioned this at the beginning of my comments. This is a new transmission line, a really important new 32.5 mile transmission line in western North Dakota. It's from approximately Kildare North, about 32.5 miles, McKenzie and Dunn County. This line, it's not that long, but it's really important because it helps complete a loop for Basin Electric and provides a lot more redundancy and reliability in their system. And just based on their application, there's one line I want to read. They say, without the Roundup to Coomer Ridge 345 KV project, loss of either the Charlie Creek to Patton Gate 345 KV, which is another parallel line, or the Patton Gate to Coomer Ridge 345 KV, which is part of the circle. Either of those down would likely result in outages or load shedding. So this is a really important piece of infrastructure for Basin Electric. They applied December 15th. Staff got through the application and we're getting it on the calendar for a hearing on February 16th at 8:30 Mountain Time in Kildare. And so we want to try to get this permit received, reviewed, and have a decision made on it as soon as possible so Basin can move forward, make whatever adjustments need to be made and move forward as soon as possible this spring with construction, hopefully. So that hearing date, again, is February 16th at 8:30 in Kildare, and that's a great time for the public to come forward with any concerns that they have about this project.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I'm just going to throw in, close to a decade ago already, Basin had this on their kind of timeline and was talking about it, but time just wasn't right then. And I'm glad it's before us now. It'll be an interesting case. It's difficult terrain up there that they have to go across in order to accomplish this. But you had mentioned the importance of the project as far as serving the load up in the McKenzie County area and well, the whole oil patch. I just want to throw in the Southwest Power Pool down there in the home offices in Little Rock. This is one of their priority projects that they're looking at too. So it's not just a 35-mile line out in very rural North Dakota. This is a priority project for the whole Southwest Power Pool.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you. That's the end of my portfolio, but I did want to just, as we're talking, I was noting the agenda today really also speaks to the breadth of the work occurring here at PSC, and I mentioned mostly the PUD work that was occurring on my opening comments, but here we see, you know, weights and measures and the demand for those folks out in the field testing and certifying these commercial scales and measuring devices. 811, the underground, you know, protecting our underground infrastructure and the enforcement of that. We have abandoned mine lands and all the work, the continuing work and demands of that program, where it's, you know, we're working through a list of important issues, and then new things are coming up all the time. And then not on the agenda today, but it's also super important that we've seen right before Christmas, the coal mining reclamation. They have, you know, a lot of mining work going on in the state, and then complaints all the time that we have to deal with in a professional manner. And a brand new team up there dealing with those things, doing just an outstanding job. And then our safety programs with rail and gas safety and that growing infrastructure. So, boy, our team is busy and doing important things that kind of go unseen but really do touch all the citizens in a lot of different ways every day. So thanks, everybody, for your hard work.
Yeah, thank you.
Chairman, do you intend to have a dissenting opinion on SH1?
I think my comments spoke for themselves.
Thank you.
So a couple of announcements here. Our next regular commission meeting is Wednesday, January 24th. And I really want to highlight that because it's a three-week gap instead of the traditional two. Shortly after that, then the following Monday on January 29th at 10 o'clock is the formal hearing that was mentioned earlier on Oliver Wind 4. That is case number PU-23-317, the 200-megawatt wind farm there. And also, besides the wind farm, then there's also a 345 kV transmission line. So the wind farm is in Oliver County. The transmission line traverses northerly into Mercer County and then east over towards the Leland Old Station substation over in that area. But the hearing will be at the Betty Hagel Memorial Civic Center in Center, North Dakota. Then, just a couple days later, on February 1st, on a Thursday, is that formal hearing that we were just talking about, PU-23-338, the Basin Electric Power Cooperative 345 kV transmission line.
Actually, that's a different one.
This is a different one. This is the one. This hearing will be up in Williston at the John Kautzman Chamber Room, and that hearing is going to be held by a substantive ALJ rather than procedural. And so I don't have it.
That's
on
for
here.
The power plant that connects the
generation. This is for the gas plant that's west of Williston that comes over to right on the very west edge of Williston and hooks into the substation. So we're just sending a substantive ALJ up there. And because it's not on the announcements yet, since we just scheduled it, just repeat one more time the date for the Coomer Ridge 16th. Line.
Is that one the 16th?
February 16th.
February 16th at 8:30 a.m. Okay. Mountain time.
And that's in Kildare. So that concludes the announcements. We will stand in recess and take questions from the press.
Yeah, just a question.